Next hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialist. Fighting for America.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
Stop assassinating black people!
Town got smashed up. Police cars on fire.
You need to stop throwing objects at the police.
One of the tear gas canisters on the street. Dispersing right now.
Fighting for Idaho.
This is 5 million people being given amnesty that Congress rejected, that the American people have rejected.
Fighting for you.
It's just such a great time of year to really be grateful for what we have and to celebrate what we've accomplished over the year and also to do things for others.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. You heard the news at the top of the hour. Cyber Monday, whatever happened to Black Friday, and of course, Small Business Saturday. Good to be back with you. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do want to thank everyone who contributed to our Treasure Valley Turkey Challenge. Over 538 turkeys given to the Boise Rescue Mission. Got a really nice letter from our friend Gene Lockhart saying how much they appreciated what we have done. And really, it is our humble pleasure to be the conduit to you, to giving. And there were so many groups that have given and we, you know, gave, and we still have the need and everything else. Here, you know, like I said, thanks to our friends at Team Mazda, Rob and Aaron and the crew there. Not only did they sponsor the operation to make that happen, which means they financed it, that they also contributed turkeys and their ads in the paper. Truly a great business partner. Our friends at Nelson RVs that have been with us through these campaigns, that gave us a great place to live and their donation. We appreciate that. And to you, to Gene and Cuna, to Two Fly Bri that gave our first turkeys, or to Tea Party Bob, or I'm trying to think of just so many of you that stopped by. Our friend Body Man Mike, we appreciate that. So many folks, thank you, thank you, thank you. You've made a difference, and that's what we have here, and we'll continue to keep being the bearer of the mantle, if you will, making a difference. Joining us now, our great friend Dave Petzo, who's here to make some money. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I think you have a plethora of microphones.
I do.
There.
It's
a little confusing for us, but we'll try and get through this. we just had Black Friday, Cyber Monday is today, Small Business Sunday or Saturday. People are buying. Have we recovered? Has the economy recovered? Is it official?
Yes, it is. According to the numbers, it's official. It's recovered. It's been the slowest recovery in history. And, you know, and it's very disappointing in a lot of ways. Wages are not as strong as you would hope they would be at this point in the recovery. And, of course, deficits are still ridiculous. The government still, even in recovery, can't get its balance to get its act together to balance the budget. So.
Well, the issue here is, then where are people getting their money if the wages aren't there?
Well, they are getting some, Kevin. There's no doubt about that. We are growing. I am just saying it should be more. That's all. We've had better recoveries every time, especially coming off of as bad a recession as we had. That it should have bounced more, you know, much better. But we have a lot of anti-business types of things with healthcare out there, you know, and this and the tax rates have really jumped as well. So there's a lot of negative towards independent growth.
True, but you know, could we be seeing an indication that some people are getting more comfortable with putting things back on credit like we had before? I mean, mm-hmm. If the wages aren't there, people are just saying, well, now I have a job, and you know, we're all only human.
Right.
We go out and we buy something and we can finance it. Probably not to the levels that we were before the crash.
Right.
But are we seeing people a little bit more comfortable and perhaps lending, mm-hmm. including credit cards, lending institutions, more comfortable with giving out money?
They are more comfortable, but they're, yeah, it depends. I mean, you're looking at, you hear people talking about on the mortgages all the time, how difficult it is to get a mortgage, and it can be difficult. But at the same time, some of the standards are definitely coming down again. It's not a problem. For example, one of the fast-growing areas is car loans, junk car loans. So there seems to be...
You were very critical of those in the past and junk home loans. If you could, just kind of run us through what actually what is. I have had a lot of people looking at buying cars lately, and look, you know how it is, Dave Pezzo. Well, yes, you do. When you were buying the Pezzo building, you wanted to make sure you had everything in line, everything was squared away,
right.
Your ducks were in a row, and you know you wanted to make sure you were very excited. We talked about off the air to get that building.
Sure.
And just like everybody else, you want to make sure you get it.
Right. But first of all, you're talking about the loans, of course, the liar loans and all those things we had before on the home mortgages. But the credit quality of some of the car loans is so low where people really shouldn't be able to get credit at all. And that's the concern. People that are paying tremendous amounts for cars, things that depreciate, and they just stay in this constant, if you will, constant state of no money.
Right.
With no hope of getting out of it.
The Dave Ramsey nightmare.
Yeah.
But let's expand upon that a little, shall we, here at 580KIDO. And maybe the reason why people give these loans out is that just like they give them out to junk businesses, they know they're never going to get their money back. They'll continue to carry that debt because they're making money off the financing.
Well, they do. Part of it is that's true, Kevin, but if you don't pay your car payment, they can take it. It's a lot easier to take than a house. They literally come and steal it in the night, and so they do get a reasonable amount of recovery. But in that case, that's why they start to loan. And people say, well, if people choose to do it, then who cares? Well, I guess I do. I do care that people stay in a terrible financial state. I wish these loans were not available, and they are in many cases usury rates.
Now, wait a minute. I am going to ask you, Dave Pezzo, the man who says there's nothing good about government, does the government have a duty to protect its citizens from these predatory loans?
I believe they do, sure. And you're right. I know it's a freedom question, but I also feel that people who just can't seem to get their financial act together. We don't let loan sharks exist in society without regulation, right?
Right.
I don't think that legal loan sharks should be allowed to exist either.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Two Fly Bri here at 580KIDO with our friend Dave Pezzo and Kevin Miller. And what we'll do here, Dave, we don't have any headphones there. We'll just take the call and listen to it. Two Fly Bri, good morning, and welcome to 580KIDO.
Thank you, gentlemen. I enjoy hearing both of your shows in the mornings, especially on Saturdays when we got back-to-back. It's a great time to listen. Hey, so I've changed jobs, and that's been a benefit because I've seen a significant increase in my take-home pay, which has allowed us to meet the current demands of life, utilities, and stuff like that. Good thing that I think gas prices have gone down. I think that has a bit to do with what our ability inside of our nation to get our own fuel and whatnot. I think somehow that's probably pushed by the executives up ahead to make Obama look good in 2016 or the Democrats in general, but that's another topic. What I'm calling about is that, yes, it is the responsibility of the government to some level, as Pezzo noted, to protect the citizens, but at the same time, the challenge is that that's the very same government that educates the people to the dumbed-downedness that our public education system has, that they don't think about things. Like you said, just like you have with Chris Troupas, when he said, all we have is gas and ATVs. I think that we're not going to be seeing good things come after 2016. I think the Democrats are trying to keep things good for the next couple of years so that way they can stay in the executive and take us continually down the path that we're going, which is not a good path.
Hang on.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Yes.
Exactly, and that's the problem that we've had for all these years. I do appreciate as well, you've got Dave Ramsey on. Our family has been relatively debt-free except for our mortgage. and we've tried to keep it that way, and we're still going to keep that method. We're still going to keep the same budget for the next year, even though I have a salary increase, so that way we can save up more and be more proactive towards our own self-management. And that's what I encourage everybody. Always, you know, 12 to 3 every day. You got Dave Ramsey, and on Saturday morning you got Petzl. He's got some great insights. Especially, even though it's not financially
Oh my
related.
Gosh, is there a question here, or is this the
yes,
love fest?
Is. Yes. That's, well, I think it's a love fest question. There you go.
Yes, exactly.
So where do you see our economy going, Petzl? That's my question.
Okay. All right.
Man,
well, first
that was
of all,
a tough one. He called you Petzl.
Yeah, that, well,
he's tough, that two-fly bri. He goes hunting.
First of all, thank you for listening. That was very, very, very nice, and glad to have you in on Saturday. So the economy continue. I think it'll continue to do well. And beyond 2016, I actually see the Republicans, if we get the White House particularly, but I still think that we're going to have a much different governing body, and I think we're going to have a pent-up demand. What I call this explosion of entrepreneurship that's going to happen in this country once we are unleashed. And I really think that that's going to be very creative, innovative, a lot of new businesses starting up, and I think it's going to be a real good thing for the economy. As far as oil prices go, I don't know. This is a really amazing collapse in oil prices virtually overnight. Nobody saw this coming. Instead of a slow decrease in prices, this has just been a collapse. And OPEC met last week and came up with no production cuts. So we're going to see prices continue to stay soft. I don't know how low they'll go. I'm sure we'll get in a bidding war for people that say it'll go down to 20. Do I hear 10? You know, every time we go up, they were trying to outbid each other to go to $200 a barrel. Now on the downside, they're outbidding each other. But it is going to have a major effect in those shale oil states. Very major, and a lot of companies are going to go out of business. If you've borrowed money and you're in this higher cost production areas, you're dead. You're dead unless prices move back up above $75 a barrel.
Thank you.
All right, two fly
Thank
by.
You.
We go to traffic at 580KIDO. Good morning.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, here he is. Dare we call him the Treasure Valley Money Man, Dave Petzl? You have, like, restrictions, so I can't really call you anything, can I?
No, you really can't.
Let's just have that full disclosure. I really can't, you know, say anything nice about you, can I?
Well, on this one, we probably can. It's kind of off the cuff. Go ahead.
You seem like a nice man.
Thank you. You really, that's nice. And I'm glad glad you think so. But
let's go to Craig in Boise at 580KIDO.
Save
Dave
us.
Petzl. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I read something by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who writes for the Daily Mail, concerning oil, international oil this weekend. And basically, I think that it comes down to the price of production. I think the Saudis are $98 a barrel. That's what their break even is. And everybody else, pretty much Nigeria and Iraq, and are up in the hundreds of dollars a barrel per being able to, you know, production costs. The interesting thing about the shale oil in the United States, and especially in the North Dakota area and other areas, is that a lot of these people have put in contracts over the next 2-3 years. I think it's 3 years, 2-3 years, that some of the rate of production is around anywhere between $78 a barrel and $28 a barrel. So they were seeing this gamble of OPEC trying to basically go ahead and challenge the oil producers in the United States as a very bad idea, because they're going to lose if they play this game to try and suppress our oil production so they can maintain control of world oil pricing and dominance.
Well, I would agree with that. As far as the break even on oil production costs, though, they're not that high. So what you might have been reading about referencing is how much the oil needs to be sold for them to balance their budgets in the country.
I don't know if it was country or if it was just actual company in production, but I'll go back and read it again.
Yeah, it's, well, Saudi Arabia is just basically they have very simple production there. I think they're one of the world's lowest cost producers because the stuff just oozes out of the sand. It's not like they have to fracture it. Now, some of ours is very, very expensive. I don't know that this is I can't imagine that this is a game that they're playing, that they think that OPEC thinks they can win, because the oil just sits there, and then if prices come back up, then it's worth producing. It doesn't go away. It's not something we go, well, if we don't produce it now, we never can. That's just simply not true. So if they hurt one company, then others will rise as they always do. So I think I don't think they're playing a game at all. I think oil prices are have a momentum of their own right now on the downside, and it's just traders are just knocking it down, 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 down. And there is plenty of oil in the world, and Saudi Arabia and others might as well produce it and hope that the economies of the world pick up. That's the other side that people forget. The economies are just not that strong in the world, so the demand has not been as great.
Right. Well, he thought it was basically a game to try and go ahead and damage, or remember back in, what was it, the 70s, where oil prices collapsed and they just capped all the wells in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma went into like a dead zone?
Yep.
I mean, they think he made, based on the business assumptions they were making, he was thinking that they were attempting to do the same thing again to basically suppress domestic oil oil extraction in the United States. So,
well, they can, but and it will. But it very naturally will come right back, and also the fields that are already being developed will absolutely continue to be developed because of the cost of the infrastructure is already in place.
All right, Craig, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Kevin Miller in the morning here. 580 KIDO, so let's get to it. We're producing a lot of oil. We're having a good time, and yet oil prices still in Idaho compared to other parts of the country, still very high.
They are very, very high. It will not be the $2 gas like you will have in Louisiana and Texas, places like that, where the oil is produced and the refineries exist. But I think we'll continue to see the prices drift quite a bit lower than they are right now. $2.99, $2.90s, whatever, very high compared to the rest of the country right
you
now.
You know, we always talk about the impact that would have. Mm-hmm. And Keystone and everything else. What's your perspective as far as the business companies? I mean, do they owe any loyalty to people in America to sell at a lower cost than they do to, let's say, the Chinese or the Japanese?
No.
Because we do have a surplus of gasoline, even though we haven't built a refinery in this country in many, many years.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think so. I think that's a rule of business, Kevin, that you just don't do that. Because if you start controlling the capitalist system by design, then the government's overreach is very clear, and we will see the economy collapse. You can't do that.
We don't want the economy to collapse here. Getting back to what Craig had talked about, though, are the Saudis in trouble? And I mean, there are strategic partners, even though they've financed a lot of these people that we have issues with right now. Are they in trouble? Could we just one day just say if we don't get here domestically, we're going to get from Mexico and Canada, and we're going to have the North American region?
Kevin, we will. I think we are getting very close. We'll be within years, and if the president hadn't been so anti-energy, then I think we would be there now. We're really, imagine if you opened up some of these public lands to development, it would be incredible, just absolutely incredible the amount of energy we would have here. We are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. We will drive cars, I believe, someday soon on natural gas. There's no reason not to.
Except the companies that are making money off us driving the cars.
They'll make money off of us driving the natural gas.
But let's hope that there is forthright and honest as you are, Mr. Petzl.
Yeah, but I think we will be energy independent. Now, Kevin, you bring up a really good point, though. Is Saudi Arabia in trouble? Not immediately, because you also have China. You've the rest of the world is not going to be producing the way we are.
China and India, consumer nations.
Consumer nations of it, right. And so, and as they grow, they're going to continue to consume more and more energy. So I don't think that that's going to be a problem for them. But what is a problem is that we, long term, you can see actually oil being a diminished asset because we will eventually drive cars on natural gas. It's cleaner. We will eventually come up with batteries that will hold a charge and take, and cars will be like Teslas where they just go long ranges and can go very fast.
I'd like if we could just have a battery for our cell phones that would work.
That's a great point.
Dave Petzo with us here. Okay, locally, what are we looking out for now? Again, the kind of the slow time of year, and I know you're saying, look, Kevin Miller, I'm always working, but historically, people kind of gear mm-hmm. off. We kind of tune out for the holidays. Yep. Besides, if you're Hasbro or Milton Bradley, you're doing well. But as far as local and what to look out for as far as in the coming week?
Well, where everybody's going to be focused on the retail and how well that's going. That's what all they talk about this time of year and how bad it's going to be, Kevin. I think it was actually a pretty good weekend overall. But that isn't what the headlines are. You got to find something that's bleeding to put it on the, put it out there. It was a good retail season. That's what people are going to be focused on. And I also think they're going to be focused on what's going on globally as far as the markets go, Kevin.
Dave Petzo, I have to tell you, I did some research while I was away in New Hampshire, and I went out and watched people shop because I was working. That's what we call work here in this business. Okay. And there was one store, Michael Kaz or something like that. Mm-hmm. They actually had a bouncer not letting people in because you can only allow so many people in, like 85 people because of fire codes, and they're worried about people stealing or what have you. Actual bouncers,
I'll be darned,
at this place. And I posted on Facebook, I said, I guess the recession's over, or at November we all take a break from our bills and get more of them. But just the whole psychology that you've talked about, I agree with you. It's always horrible, but there's always lines at the mall.
There are. That's right. That's exactly. And people are there, and they're shopping online even more, Kevin. So even though people are talking about that the sales are down, the stores are happy, the Target CEOs and all those people out there are very, very happy with what's happened over the weekend. I have to agree. I just think that people are shopping and spending.
Final thought, how big is the Cyber Monday? How big is the online stuff, do you think?
Oh, it's huge.
Amazon and everything else?
Yeah, I don't know whether if people get on there today specifically. They have been getting on there since Thursday. Right. There's
right.
been special after special after special. Best Buy has been knocking the cover off the ball. In fact, they had so many people on Best Buy, it knocked down their computer. Their server couldn't handle it. And so they were offline for a few hours on Friday.
Dave Petzo with us. Safe journeys, my friend.
Thank you.
The Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
We need to ask the question, how many black officers shoot young white boys? We have to ask that question.
Ebony and ivory.
It tells me that the black men can just get shot down like dogs. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot.
Don't just hand the peace, don't just hand the peace.
Why don't we?
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
7:41. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, taking your phone calls on the Ferguson situation and I guess you'd say the racial history of America. Let's continue to beat ourselves up over a situation that, if we're all very honest, could have been avoided, right? And coming up, a story I've been saving for quite some time. It's kind of blown over a little, but the Columbia High School teacher killing the rabbit as a class demonstration. Is that appropriate? Let's go to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter, Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Happy Thanksgiving, Kevin.
Now, there was a rumor about you on Facebook, and I won't broadcast it, but is there any truth to that rumor? And if so, are you going to let us in on it?
What rumor?
About you and the police and possibly being detained.
Oh, I was detained, yes. That was supposed to actually remain on the down low, but that's okay. My life's public anyway.
Well, it was on the Facebook, so.
Oh, no. Well, yeah.
All over Facebook rumors about you.
Well, yeah, they're most likely true, and that's I can't confirm unless I actually see them, because I don't want to walk myself into a corner and be detained again. The one thing.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you had good relations with people that do the detaining.
Well, Kevin, I'd love to. You know, this has come up several times, and I think that actually the listeners would be entertained by it. I think they might even like to hear what has been going on within my life regarding this issue, considering you've had some questions about whether I love them or hate them. And this is something that I continue to focus on more and more every day. And the simple fact of the matter is that I wanted people to consider is this issue was never meant to go away. As a matter of fact, these issues are going to escalate, and they're done on purpose. And the reason
we're being disrespectful to the listening audience, and I don't want to be disrespectful to you, Tom, at 580KIDO. So I think you're going to have to do the big reveal and tell us what was in the published reports on the Facebook about you being detained, or shall I use the stronger word, arrested?
Well, that one. No, that wasn't arrest. No, that wasn't.
Okay,
right.
So then let's dispel the rumor that you were arrested because your kid was doing donuts.
Oh, yeah. My son was doing, it was his first snow. He just got his license last year. He's a good driver, actually. And he was in the school parking lot, in a vacant area in the school parking lot, I might add. And he was doing donuts in the car. Well, he was only doing them for about 20 seconds, so it wasn't a very big issue. And I know the guy, and so the officer and stuff, so he called me and told me that he knew I was going to take care of it. But the issue was that he's probably listening now, too.
So the rumor was that you got arrested because your kid got arrested because he was doing donuts in a parking lot.
No, I did not get arrested. He called me and gave me a warning and told me that, and then I went up and looked at the code. It's Title 49, 1401 or 1402.
Well, we've dispelled the rumor of that. So how does this play into Ferguson?
Well, this plays into the incremental lawlessness of law enforcement.
You should be happy about Ferguson, because now the president is going to meet today and take a look at all the military vehicles that he's been giving the police departments. He's going to take them away, possibly.
Well, I have one thing to say in the midst of a short time. I'd love to be on and discuss it a little more, and I hope you allow me to do that. But this is the 1033 exchange program, the incremental militarization of law enforcement, is going to ultimately mean the death of law enforcement and citizens. This is not going to help the problem. This is going to escalate the problem, and this is what I'm trying to prevent. And I've got law enforcement officers that are telling other law enforcement officers that they should not meet with me for a variety of reasons, and it's a complete misunderstanding. This is a powder keg waiting to go off.
Well,
if the citizens don't go after our sheriffs and our law enforcement officers,
you're saying that a Ferguson situation could happen here.
No, not could. It will happen here, and it's already happening here. It's just on a smaller scale. When you're getting busted for doing stuff that officers admit to doing years ago. You know, governments were created to protect the rights of the people and to preserve those rights for people for future generations.
Right.
But if I've got less rights than my parents had, then is government acting in contradiction to its creation?
Well, you could say that, Tom. Thank you for the call. We go to LS with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
On a cold and rainy Ferguson morn, another little Michael Brown was born in the ghetto.
Now, hold on. I know you're trying new material because you have been accused of the tune-out factor here. And I have to say, quite frankly, at 580KIDO, you've slipped a little. But I have to make a confession to you.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a nightmare about you when I was on vacation.
In Old Hampshire?
Yes, I had a nightmare about you. How many people in America have nightmares about people that call in to their radio shows? I don't think Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity have those problems.
Well, Glenn Beck is psychotic.
This is what you mean to me. I don't know if that's a good thing.
You gonna share the nightmare?
You wouldn't stop talking. You were in the studio and we couldn't remove you. You were and I mean this in a loving way, you were incredibly obnoxious.
Oh,
Kevin, I'm never obnoxious. I just want to, I was hoping that your money man was still on. I want to give everybody a tip. A big tip. And I mean, this is money.
Okay,
in your
well,
pocket.
We've already moved on, so thank you for the call. 7:48, time for traffic at 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Blessed to be with you. Remember a few years ago when the Star Wars prequels came out and the first one was disappointing, the second one was kind of okay. Did they ever really equal the big three and really the big two? Was there really, and I know a lot of people are going to go Gone with the Wind and everything else, but was there ever a better movie than the original Star Wars that Alan Ladd lost his job over? I don't know. And most of you go out and you do things. I live my life through the television. In fact, I just found out that I'm on track to be a CEO of Netflix. The guy that's the head of Netflix, he's 50 years old, and all he ever did, he dropped out of college and watched TV all the time. And who would have thought that would lead to such a great career? Well, anyway, one of the benefits of Star Wars is Alan Ladd and Lucas, and they did all these things. And Lucas didn't take a lot of money because he wanted to keep something called merchandising, which led to, you know, probably half of his fortune today. And now that Star Wars is owned by Disney, which we see the globalification of Star Wars, if you will. But it was really such a quirky movie. And those pants that Luke Skywalker wore were just bleached jeans and such. Well, now we've got the big Star Wars coming out. And we've got the guy that redid Star Trek, which, quite frankly, didn't really think did justice to Star Wars Generation, Star Wars this, Star Wars that, or the original. But he, in fact, is the guy that's going to do this. So over the weekend, they released the big trailer. And, of course, a trailer on radio doesn't do much. But in the interest of being compelling, let's take a listen. Well, there we go. Let's try it again, Timmy.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
I don't like the voice guy. Yeah, and you're seeing various things. Now, I know you're in your car, and for a public service announcement here, we can't sit there and tell you to close your eyes in your cars. Don't close your eyes. Focus, focus, focus. By the way, this is the first ever, we'll just take credit for it, radio premiere of a trailer. How about that?
The dark side.
That's never good.
And the light.
You love that music, the Millennium Falcon, Life is Good. Well, let's hope they don't ruin it. The massive Star Wars movie coming out a year from today. Talk about pre-promotion. And it's funny because the Washington Post, you would think that they'd be talking about Benghazi or ISIS. The Washington Post did a huge story yesterday on whether or not you need a blade guard for the lightsaber and whether or not having the new blade guard is appropriate. And then they talked about how you have a propensity in the land of the Jedi to lose your hand. Anyway, coming up, we'll talk to an expert about what's going on in not only Ferguson, but what was it, 32 or over 30 protests across the country because of the Ferguson verdict? Is this real or is this imaginary? And a story that is relatable anywhere. We've held it as long as we can. What happens when a teacher kills a rabbit in class. By the way, PETA very upset about this, but is it a great lesson? Or did the teacher go too far? Now, I know Columbia dealt with this a couple weeks ago, but still, a great, uniquely Idaho local story. Let's get you to work. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, coming up, Fox News on the radio. In addition to that, let's talk a little bit about what is and what isn't appropriate in school when we're talking lessons. Should biology people be killing rabbits in classes? You decide.
Serving Meridian.